This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وأسوتنا وقائدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه أجمعين وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم وبعد. First of all, brothers and sisters, apologies for the delay. I don't know if it's a slight delay or a long delay, but there was some delay. we always have excuses for the delay, so today's excuse is that there's some kind of a football match that's taking place in Wembley, and there was a lot of traffic. Actually, rather than coming on the train, which I normally do come on, but we plan to come because of some reasons in the car, and there was a lot of traffic. So anyway, apologies out of the way, and I hope you accept that apology. Title for today's discussion, Challenges of University Life. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq for me to say that which is beneficial for all of you, that which is beneficial for you, and that we implement it. And may Allah accept your coming here, accept your efforts. I know you could have been doing a lot of other things this Friday evening. May Allah reward all of you, all of us, inshallah ta'ala, and reward us and give us some benefit, and that we implement whatever I'm going to inshallah say. This is, I believe, a freshers, you call it, yeah? People who are joining university, new students, or at least there's a lot of people who are starting their new year, a new chapter in their life. For those who are starting off completely new, as well as those who are just starting a new year in their study life, there are many challenges. And I'm sure you all know of some of those challenges. But I'm going to talk about certain things in these few minutes that we have in front of us. Life is all about challenges as it is. Every part of our life. It's all about tests and trials and tribulations and difficulties and hardships. And that's in the Quran, where Allah says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. We will test you, surely test you. So, and then Allah says, we'll test you with the few of the things that Allah has mentioned there in that particular verse. A bit of fear, poverty, hunger, and financial tests and trials and tribulations that come in terms of monetary aspect, and also people around you, your loved ones dying and passing away and leaving this world. So life is all about tests. Every part of our life is a challenge. And bliss is only in the next life. This is our belief. We believe in the hereafter as believers. Bliss, eternal bliss, is in paradise. Or eternal sadness and hardship and difficulties is in hellfire, and Allah save us all from that. This world Allah has created as a mixture of both. The good things, the difficulties, the hardships, tests and trials and tribulations, as well as you get, you know, some good things in this life as well. But everybody gets and receives their share. Sometimes, you know, when people have difficulties and hardships, they start complaining, why only me? It's not why only you, it's everybody. You know, this approach that why me is actually very wrong, sinful, and quite dangerous. Even to make that statement, it's quite dangerous. Because that's questioning the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. that Allah is being unfair. A'udhu billah, for example. This is when someone says, why me? Allah has a pre-planned distribution plan. It's a just distribution plan. And every human being receives his or her share in different ways. But everybody receives their share. So anyway, life is all about tests and challenges. Coming into a university life brings about its own specific challenges. Right? So many challenges. But before we go on to the challenges, one of the first things that we need to do as students, or you need to do as students, I'm a student as well, but not here. What is important is that, and this is generally in our life, whether someone's studying secular sciences at the university, someone studying religious sciences, someone doing business, trade, commerce, somebody has a career. In all aspects of our life, there's something that's really profoundly important. And that's the basis of our deen and our religion and sharia, which is to correct our intention. What we call tasheehu niyya. There's numerous texts of the Quran and Sunnah that talk about importance of correcting one's intention. Right? The famous hadith, which has been recorded in most hadith collections, and not just been recorded, they actually, the hadith collections begin with this hadith. The Messenger of Allah, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, says, I heard the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, on the mimbar, the pulpit, saying, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Indeed, actions are by the intentions. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Actions are, meaning actions are rewarded or not rewarded by the intention behind it. Because if you take this hadith literally, what this hadith literally means, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Actions come into existence by intention. If you take it literally, the Arabic language, right? We don't take everything literally. I mean, there's a way of understanding texts. If you start taking everything just exactly literally, then we could make a lot of grave errors. This hadith literally means actions come into existence by the intention, which means that if you don't have an intention, that action will not come into existence. Does anybody believe that? You know, you punch someone. Punch. Don't do that. I'm just giving an example. You punch someone, and then he says, why did you punch me? I didn't punch you. You just punched me. I didn't have intention. I'm sure I didn't punch you. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is what the hadith literally means. Action can only take place if you have an intention. If you don't intend to do something, that thing will not take place. That's wrong. So that's not the meaning of the hadith. The meaning of the hadith is actions are rewarded or not rewarded by the underlying intention behind it. And therefore, then the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he said after that, وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَّا نَوَى. Every individual, man, woman, every individual will receive that which he or she intends. If you intend good, you'll get the reward, you'll receive the reward. If your intention is bad, then you'll get a sin if it's a sinful intention. And if there's no intention, then there's no reward. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَّا نَوَى. And then he gave an example, فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, etc. It's a long hadith, not too long, but time is short. But this is very important, correcting of one's intention. We have such a beautiful deen, brothers and sisters, that we have the Islamic so-called religious obligation and activities and deeds, which are clearly Islamic, like offering salah, paying of zakat, performing of hajj, right? These are clearly Islamic activities. But we have such a beautiful deen that even the so-called non-Islamic activities, the mundane, regular, day-to-day activities that we do, even those can become acts of worship and ibadah if we make an intention that we want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we make the right and correct intention. Whatever we do, even eating food, which is supposedly a mundane, regular, worldly activity. But if you make an intention, oh Allah, I am thanking you, you've given me, blessed me with this great food, and I will thank you, and I want to eat so that I get a bit of energy. With that energy, I will inshallah carry out some good, righteous activities. I will help and assist my fellow Muslims and human beings in whatever way I can do, my family, I'll look after them. And if I have some more energy, I will worship, I will offer my prayers, I will worship you. All these intentions behind eating makes the act of eating food an act of ibadah. Just imagine, we will be eating as it is. It's just, this is why some of the scholars said deen is about changing your perspective, the way you look at it. Likewise, sleeping. You make an intention, oh Allah, my body is tired. Right? You try to act upon the sunnah, make wudu, ablution, read the dua, the supplication, and then you make an intention. You don't have to verbally say the intention. It's all in the mind. Right? It's not, the intention is not necessary. Even before salah, you don't have to say, okay, oh Allah, I am offering 3 rak'ah maghrib, and you know, today on, what is it, 12th of October. You don't have to do all of that. Right? It's just in the mind. An-niyatu amalul qalb, like the ulama say. Niyah is the action of the heart. You think in your heart, and you make the intention, fine, you get the reward. Every worldly so-called worldly activity becomes an Islamic activity, an act of worship, to the point that the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, in one hadith said, even your relationship with your spouse, your husband, wife, becomes an act of charity. The intimate relationship becomes an act of charity if the intention is the right intentions of chastity, etc., and preserve, guarding yourself and safeguarding oneself from unlawful, obscene, sinful act. So likewise, coming to the university, you have to correct your intention. And remember, you don't have to start saying it, it's just in your mind. And keep on renewing that intention every now and then. If you correct your intention, that look, this, Allah has given me, blessed me with this great opportunity to study and seek knowledge, make something out of my life. With that degree or career at the end of the road that I will gain, I will inshallah put something back in the community. I will do whatever I want, I can do in terms of helping and assisting. Your money will come. Your career, your job, salary, that's secondary. It will come. You'll be doing the same thing. But the changing of intention. If you're a medic, for example, studying medicine, right? If you're studying medicine, that's, I mean, it's an amazing, amazing career and job to take. It's a path to take. Classically, historically, the ulama considered doctors on a par with religious scholars. You know, like Imam Shafi'i radiallahu anhu said, al-ilmu ilman, ilmu al-fiqh lil-adiyan wa ilmu al-tibbi lil-abdan, that sciences really worth studying are only two: religious sacred sciences, which is to do with the deen, ilmu al-fiqh lil-adiyan wa ilmu al-tibbi lil-abdan, and medicine, medical sciences, which is to do with the body. One is to do with the next life, one is to do with this life. Right? So they consider them to be on a par with the religious scholars. And I tell you, there's a lot of similarity. I have a lot of medic friends who have studied and graduated. And a lot of the things, very similar. You know, you have an old school medicine, you know, old doctors. You know, you have scholars who are some older generation, younger generation, same kind of problems. I have a friend who's been practicing 5-6 years, not in London, in North somewhere. And he tells me the same thing. You know, I go to my local GP, he tells me something. Then there's ikhtilaf between him. You know, there's a difference of opinion. He, you know, so I always check with him, my young friend who's in Manchester. And he says, yeah, this that was in like an older opinion, and like, you know, this is a different opinion. So same differences of opinion that scholars have, those kind of same differences of opinion medics sometimes have. A lot of similarities. So the intention behind that, inshallah, I will help and assist humanity. You know, khidmatul khalq, serving creation, having rahmah and mercy in the heart for the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for humanity, and being, having this intention to help and assist. And whichever path you take, whether it's pharmacy or whatever you want to take, you know, helping, assisting, putting back something positive in the community, with that, your act of studying becomes an act of worship and ibadah. So now you're going to take the tube in the morning, right, to come to the university. You're walking, you're paying, you know, to travel. Everything becomes an act of sadaqah and charity. The few pounds that you've spent, or you've got your tube pass that you're paying, if you make right intention, that's an act of charity. You're actually giving in charity. Walking, coming, as long as you do it in the right way, which I'm going to talk about, no sins, right? But if you do it in the right way, it only becomes an act of Islam and charity if it's the right intention, but the other condition is it has to be done in an Islamic way. So this is very important. Every mundane worldly activity becomes an act of deen, Islam, and becomes an act of ibadah. Very important. That's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in one hadith, which is in the Sunan of Imam al-Tirmidhi, he said, even the tradesmen, the traders, التاجر الصدوق الأمين مع النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين. It's in the Sunan of Imam al-Tirmidhi, sound hadith. a tradesman who is truthful, who is trustworthy, a businessman, right? You're doing business studies or whatever. A businessman who is truthful and trustworthy, which means not just these two things, but generally truthful and trustworthiness, truthfulness and trustworthiness are indications that you do your business according to the Islamic way. There's no fraud, there's no cheating, there's no deception, there's no lying, there's no this, this, and that, and the other. Not what a lot of the bankers did. But anyway, if a tradesman does his business or her business in the right way, then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that this person will be raised on the day of judgment on the next life. Imagine the rank. Raised with an-Nabiyyin, the prophets, was-Siddiqeen, those who are termed as the group of Siddiqeen, the truthful people. And the leader of them will be Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu. Was-Shuhada, and the martyrs, was-Saliheen, and the righteous people. This tradesperson will be raised with them. But on the other hand, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives a severe warning as well. In the same chapter, Imam Tirmidhi has another hadith just after that. He says that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "At-tujjaru yuhsharuna yawm al-qiyamati fujjaran." All the traders on the day of judgment will be raised. All those, you know, businessmen and merchants, they will all be raised as sinners. As fujjar. Fujjar is a plural of what we say in Arabic, fajr. Sinful. There will be sinners. Illa, except. So there's an exception. Illa man ittaqa, except the one who feared God in his business transaction. Wa barra, who was righteous. Wa sadaqa, and he was truthful. So anyway, this is the intention. So inshallah, this is the first point that we really need to ensure that we correct our intention. Whatever we do it for the sake of Allah and to please God. That's our primary consideration. Then after that, yes, you can have all the other intentions, as long as the intention is not sinful intention. But you can have all the other intentions of having a career, etc., etc. But this is the primary intention. The second point, which is so important for every believer, and I'm going to focus a lot of my talk on this, which is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord and our Creator, has blessed us with many gifts, ni'am. The Quran says, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to even try to count the bounties and the gifts that Allah has blessed you with, you will not be able to count them. There's numerous, every part of our life, every part of our body, every organ, just the sight itself. Amazing ni'mah from God. The reality of this ni'mah is only detected when we lose that ni'mah. Just imagine, you know, close your eyes and walk for 5 minutes without your eyesight. Then you realize. That's why they say that as-sihhatu, which is a very important ni'mah as well, which is health and well-being, afiyah. They say, Imam Shafi'i radiallahu anhu said, as-sihhatu tajun ala ru'usil as-sihha, la yubsiruha illa al-marda. Well-being and health is a crown which is on the head of the healthy people, but only the sick see it. You know, I see you healthy, alhamdulillah, but I don't see that crown on you. The one who cannot see, or the person who's got some sort of physical disability, will actually see that within you as a great ni'mah. So we have numerous ni'ams, and the ulama have actually divided these ni'ams. There are usulul ni'am. There's like, you know, many different gifts and bounties. One of the greatest and the main ones, I said sihha, which is health and well-being, but one of them is what we call, what? Time. Time is considered to be one of the most valuable asset, precious asset that a human being has in his or her life. In the verses, and I'm going to focus on these verses in the Quran, in Surah Al-Mu'minun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, you know, He says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ إِلَّا عَلَى أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ. فَمَنْ يَبْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَدُونَ. These are some amazing, unique, really pertinent, important verses. I want to focus it on these few verses, which will tell us about the challenges that we have. Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Indeed, المؤمنون, the following, the believers who have the following qualities and attributes, they have attained success and falah. أَفْلَحَ, it's from the word falah. What does the muadhin say? حَيَّ عَلَلْ, حَيَّ عَلَلْ. Come on, you can speak as well. حَيَّ عَلَلْ falah. Come to success. Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. There are certain believers who have gained falah and success. Who are these people? Number one, he says, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those who are really concentrated and humble in their prayers. They offer their prayers with a lot of devotion and khushu', right? خَاشِعُونَ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ. But I don't want to focus on that. That's the first point. And then he said, and this is the important part, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. Those believers who will be successful in this life and the next life. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. Those who turn away from useless activities, from vain activities, from wasting time. The Arabic word used here is اللغو. You've heard of the word اللغو. لغو means useless. No benefit in it. لا في الدنيا ولا في الآخرة. Neither in this world or the next world. Neither in this world or in the next life. Those who يعرضون. And the way Allah actually said this verse as well, normally, you know, if you know Arabic, normally the verse should have been وَالَّذِينَ يَعْرِضُونَ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ. The sequence should come like that. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ يَعْرِضُونَ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ. But Allah says وَالَّذِينَ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ, to put emphasis. Those who, regarding لغو, لغو should have come afterwards, but Allah says وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ. So these are the people who, as far as لغو is concerned, which is useless, vain activities. Regarding that, these people are mu'ridun, completely. They just stay away, turn their faces away, detach themselves, and separate themselves completely from vain activities. A believer does not waste his or her time. Imam al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, he said, look, there are three types of activities that we do. One type of activities, there's benefit in it. في الدنيا, in this world or the next world. Yeah. Even like offering salah, there's benefit for the next life. Studying well, doing something good in this world, even sports, there's some sort of benefit. Yeah. Health benefit. So there's some benefit. There is another type of activity in which there's harm. Sinful, all sinful activities are considered to be harmful. So they're out of the question. Harmful activities. Harmful in terms of Islamically or even in your worldly life. Smoking, it's a harmful activity. Yeah, you all agree? Of course it is. Shishaing, maybe, as well. You know, long hours of shishaing on Edgware Road. Also harmful. So I've actually put shishaing, that's a good term that I've just made up, shishaing, in this category. Because the third category is no benefit and no harm. Imam al-Ghazali and many scholars have said that those activities which are in the third, in which the first one is beneficial, either in this world or the next world, good. Second one, harmful, either in this world or the next world, that's evil, bad. Of course, we have to stay away. But there's a second middle category of activities that are neither beneficial, neither what? Harmful. So you're just sitting there for about half an hour. Not even thinking, just closing your eyes. I don't know how someone can sit in without even thinking, you know. Just wasting time. All night long, just sitting and chatting with friends on Edgware Road, not shishaing, because with shisha, it's in the harmful category, right? So that's why I've put this here. Just relaxing, having coffee, and just, okay, you want to talk about something important, beneficial, then that's fine, but sometimes just, you know, like just wasting time, relaxing with the brothers, chilling, as we say, that's harmful. Imam al-Ghazali and many other scholars have said that this third category of activities, it may seem on the face of it, that it's an activity that has no harm in it and no benefit, but it's actually harmful. Because wasting of time in itself is a harmful activity. it's a harmful activity. Those people who waste their time, it's a harmful activity. So therefore, you might think there's no harm in it, but there's harm in this as well. Like a tradesman. You know, a tradesman, if he's not doing business, if he's losing money physically, you invest some money and you're losing some money physically, then what do you think? Okay, there's harm. But tradesmen don't look at that harm. They look at opportunity cost. If I should have earned or profited this much amount. If I didn't profit, then that's actually a loss. According to the businessman, the profit not made is a loss. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is Islamically as well. If you don't make profit from the time, the most precious gift that Allah has given us, time, zaman, it's an amazing ni'mah, and we really, really have to. So what does Allah say? وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. And then there's two more things which I'm going to come to, which is in point three, about sinful activities and obscene activities. So this is what Allah said, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. The same kind of message given in another verse, one of the shortest verses, shortest surahs of the Qur'an. Most of you, if not all of you, have memorized this. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Yeah, it's a very good surah. Like every salah, yeah? Not every salah. You know, try to read some long ones as well. But it's maybe one of the shortest surahs of the Qur'an, but it's one of the most meaningful surahs. It's an amazing. Some of the scholars said that you can sort your whole life out on just this surah. Wal asr, time. Allah has taken an oath on time. When Allah takes an oath on something, this shows that this is something huge. And not just on this, in this surah, there are numerous verses in the Quran where Allah takes an oath by time, like by saying, wal layli idha yaghsha, by night, day, wa sakhara lakum al-layla wa an-nahar. You know this. Allah talks about the time, moments of the day and the night. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Verily, indeed, indeed, mankind, insan, al-insan, which means humanity, which includes Muslims, non-Muslims, believers, non-believers, is in absolute loss. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. We are all at a loss. Except, and then he says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, those who believe. So believing, and not just believing like I'm a Muslim, that's it, you know, with conviction, and then acting upon that belief, and those who do righteous activities meaning in terms of Islamic activities, worshipping Allah, staying away from sins, and also beneficial activities in this world, وَتَوَاصُوا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصُوا بِالصَّبْرِ, those who mutually advise one another of the truth, of the haqq, and then patience as well. So Allah says, "Well, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Again, by time. There's a hadith in the Sahih of Imam al-Bukhari where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, another amazing hadith. He says, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, نِعْمَتَانِ مَغْبُونٌ فِيهِمَا كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ الصِّحَّةُ وَالْفَرَاغِ. There are two bounties. How many? Two. Not the chocolate bounties. I know there's a red one and a blue one. I don't know if they still do the red one, and it's one of my favorite chocolates, well, like it used to be. There are two gifts and ni'ams from Allah. Right? You know, when I was small, when I was a kid, somebody told me that this bounty comes from paradise. I used to literally believe that this is a chocolate from paradise. So I used to say to my parents or my brothers or whatever, get me that chocolate which is made in paradise, which is bounty. Taste was really good, and, you know, mashallah, it still tastes good. It's halal, yeah? I'm sure it's halal. I want to start talking about chocolate and find out it's halal. I haven't had one in a long time, but alhamdulillah. Two ni'mas that Allah has blessed every human being. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what does he say? مَغْبُونٌ فِيهِمَا كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ. Most people are in deception regarding these two. غَبًا مَغْبُونٌ, that you're deceived. Everyone's in deception. Sorry, not everyone. Most people. كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ. Most of the people are in deception. They are deceived. What do you mean deception? The two things. الصِّحَّةُ وَالْفَرَاغُ. One is health, well-being. And the other is time that you have. Like, you're not busy. The deception is, Shaitan comes and, you know, gives the deception, tries to deceive us. When we have health, we don't value it. We think we'll be healthy like this all the time. So we just say, yeah, we can do things, 10, 15, 20, I've got my whole life in front of me, not a problem. When we're young, especially, I'm telling you seriously, you guys are young brothers and sisters, but time's going to fly like this. Seriously, time's going to fly like this. You will think to yourself, you know, the time when I was studying in 2012 in Imperial, at Imperial, it's just going to be like a memory. You will come to, if you're still alive and we're still alive, 2022, and it's going to go like this. You talk to anyone now, everybody's complains of one thing. Time is moving really fast. Actually, one of the hadiths is one of the signs of Qiyamah. One of the signs of Qiyamah. Time will fly by. And it is. It's just, the way the week goes, it's just like a day. So make the most of every second that you have. Al-waqtu aghla min al-dhahab, like some of the scholars said, not a hadith, but some of the scholars said, it's more valuable, time is more valuable than gold and silver and dinar and dirham and pound and money and dollar and wealth. The early scholars from the Sahaba, the Tabi'un, the Salaf, the early Muslims, they would value time as though it's a, you know, really valuable commodity. The way we take out a pound and spend it, they would spend a minute. You know, you're not just going to just lie, you know, let pound and money just lie around, or just anyone you want, okay, just go on the road and everybody just here, pound, pound, pound. Oh, you might be generous, you might do that. But even that, if you're generous, it's rewarding. But you're not just going to throw it. Yeah, you've got a whole like 50 pounds and you just walk around here, one on the there, here, one there, one there, just throw it. Does anybody do that? No. That's like every minute in which there is no benefit of this world, dunya, or the next world, that's like you're throwing a pound away. You're playing some game or something, just throwing it away. They would really value time, like spend. Even today there are scholars of the Muslim Ummah, and even some non-Muslims, those who really take this life seriously, those who have made something out of their life and they've really, you know, contributed positively to the society. They also are very, very punctual and particular about every single minute of their time. It's like if you want to take out a minute, you think beforehand, is it really worthwhile doing this particular activity in this particular minute that I have or not? The way you want to take a pound out and buy, you will think properly, is it value for money? Is this activity or this statement or what I'm going to talk about really valuable of time? If not, stay quiet. Imam Shafi'i radiallahu anhu, one of the great imams of this ummah, one of the early scholars, when people used to come and talk to him, he used to look down for a few seconds, meditate, and then respond. People came and asked him, said, oh Imam, why do you do this? What's this habit that you have? When people come and talk to you, you take a few seconds, you think, you look down, and then you respond. He said, you know why I do that? He said, حَتَّى أَعْرِفَ أَنَّ الْخَيْرَ فِي الْكَلَامِ أَوْ فِي السُّكُوتِ. So that what I do is I evaluate. I think whether it's really beneficial for me to speak or beneficial for me to remain quiet. So I think, is it worthwhile speaking now? If not, then I don't want to waste my time in speaking. That's why the word laghu is actually useless, vain speech. Something that we talk about, there's no benefit. So sinful things, of course. Vulgar language, swearing, slandering. Those are like out of the question. They are absolutely categorically haram. That's like, we're not even talking about that. But just useless speech. No benefit. You're not enjoying the good, you're not benefiting someone, you're not saying some words of comfort, you're not helping someone, you're not giving some beneficial advice, none of that. No benefit, what you talk about. All activity is useless. It's just absolute wastage of time. This is what laghu means. So, this hadith, most people are in deception. They think, oh, first one is siha. Well-being and health. I'm really healthy. Nothing will happen to me. You realize the ni'mah of siha when you become ill, when you become sick, when you become old. Then people start what? They start regretting. I could have done so much more in my life. And the other one, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, al-faragh. When you have time, most people are in deception regarding time. They don't realize the importance of time. When they don't have time, Yeah? When you get married, and when you have five toddlers, I don't know if you're going to have five, but if you have five toddlers, and then you don't have time, that's when you realize that when I was single, I should have made the most out of it. Or if you've got a very demanding wife or husband, then what do you... You say, when I was a bachelor, I should have made the most out of it. Right? So don't waste time. Because as you go growing old in your life, you're going to have a family, there's going to be much more things in your life. And you will regret the time that was spent in useless activities. When you're at university, spend it well. Studying, doing that which is important, be serious, be serious and principled in your life. You know, our deen, I'll tell you one thing, subhanAllah. You know, so this hadith, I'll just end with this hadith, which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, most people are in deception, this is considered to be one of, like Imam Abu Dawood and many others say, this hadith is considered to be min jawami' al-kalim, comprehensive statements of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's a few similar hadith, I'll say them, and then I'll tell you one thing, which is very important. In another hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, min husni islam al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni, in the sunan of Imam al-Tirmidhi and the musnad of Imam Ahmad. From the beauty of a man or a woman's religion is to tarkuhu ma la ya'ni, to leave, abstain, stay away from those things that don't concern you. If there's an argument about some debate taking place that doesn't concern you, it's not going to benefit you, just walk away, move away, or try to enjoy the good, and try to encourage the people who are doing the bane activity to stop doing that. Min husni islam al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. Okay? There's a hadith with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, اغتنم خمسا قبل خمس. These are similar types of hadiths. Value five things before five things come. شبابك قبل هرمك. Your youth before your old age. وصحتك قبل مرضك. And your health before you become ill, before your illness. وغناك قبل فقرك. If you've got a bit of money, don't just, use it in a beneficial way before you become poor. And then he said, وفراغك قبل شغلك, and your time that you have. Before you get busy, value your time. Use it appropriately. And finally he said all of this, وحياتك قبل موتك. Value your life before your death. Once the angel of death comes and the soul is taken out, that's it. Chapter closed. End of story. The small story that we had. It's a very small story. Because life after death is an eternal life, 600 million years and beyond. The 60 years is like a dot in an ocean. Even probably that's, it's less than that. It's a small story. But value the life that Allah has given us, the precious life that Allah has given us before us. So, like the poet said, that the life, حياتك أنفاس تعد فكلما. This is a poetry, a line of poetry. حياتك أنفاس تعد فكلما مضى منها نفس انتقصت به جزءا. Your life is a combination, collection of certain breaths that you take. That's what life is. Every time, each time you take one breath, a portion of your life has gone. Gone. That breath that I took, never ever again. The second that you passed, one thing never comes back. Never. Time will never come back. This time today, 8:12 p.m. Friday, 12th of October, never in your life that time will come back again. Imagine how much time that we waste in our life. This is what Islam teaches of being very, very conscious of this great ni'mah that Allah has given us. Time will fly by. Time's going to go anyway. Al-waqtu kas-sayf, like they say in Arabic proverb. Al-waqtu kas-sayf illam taqta'hu qata'ak. It's like a sword. If you don't cut the time, like you don't use it and you don't do something in it, it's going to cut you. So time will pass by as it is. But the point I want you to say that our deen really encourages, seriously, listen to this, subhanAllah. You know, all our acts of worship, most of them, if not all, the way Allah has designed them, they all teach us this consciousness the hikmah, one of the main wisdoms behind them, is to bring about in our life, the concept, the habit, the quality, the trait, the characteristic of valuing time, being principled, being very organized in your life. Zakat based on time, calculation. Hajj based on time. Fasting based on time. You suhoor at a certain time. Iftar at a certain time. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, open your fast quickly. Ta'ajjalu. فَإِنَّ you know, فِي تَعْجِيلِ meaning hasting. I can't remember called the Arabic of the hadith. You shouldn't delay. And the most important act of worship, which is what? Salat. Imagine, 5 times a day. Not whenever we want to pray, at the time when God wants us to pray. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the hadith of Bukhari, he was asked, أَيُّ الْأَعْمَالِ أَفْضَلِ. Which act is the most virtuous in the sight of Allah? He said, As-salatu ala waqtiha, offering prayer on its time. And if you pray delayed out of time when it becomes qada, then that's sinful deliberately. 5 times a day. I'm sure, and inshallah, everybody is praying 5 times, because without that, there's no deen really, seriously. That's the first thing people will be questioned on the Day of Judgment. أول شيء يحاسب به العبد يوم القيامة الصلاة. The first thing questioned on the Day of Reckoning is prayer. It's actually a sign that distinguishes a believer from a non-believer, as mentioned in the hadith. But it is difficult, and I'm not saying it's easy, it is difficult. For someone who does not know the concept of prayer, you tell them something that we have to do 5 times a day in a punctual way. We have to be extremely punctual, on time. This, and seriously, if someone who is really punctual with his 5 or with her 5 time prayers, everything else in your life becomes easy. Everything else. You can wake up the time. If you can wake up for Fajr Salah at 4 a.m., everything else is easy in your life. This is what Salah is doing. This is one of the main hikmah and wisdoms behind prayer. To make you as a principled, organized human being. That you wake up early on time. Even if it's a Sunday, you don't wake up 2 p.m. You wake up early in the morning. You offer Salah. You read, recite some Quran. You make some dhikr of Allah. Then you go and do some exercise if you want. Go to the gym or go for a jog or whatever. Wake up early. You can have a bit of rest in the afternoon. Then you offer your dhuhr. You eat at the right time. You sleep at the right time early. One of the important things, like in the hadith mentioned, sleeping early, the key to a good life is to sleep early. So these prayers, they actually bring about within us a habit of being principled and organized in our life. This is why we have these 5 time prayers, right? A student should be principled, seriously. If you want to really be successful in this life or the next life, a student shouldn't have time for vain activities, late night partying. I'm not even talking about haram, I'm going to come to that, I don't know how much time we have. But forget the haram activities, these are useless late night parties. Just wasting time. A successful student is someone who doesn't socialize too much, seriously. I'm not saying that you all just like become a mean, you know, really aggressive or very reserved type of human being that someone talks to you, I've got something to do, what are you talking to me, I don't have time. Not that kind of person. But you know, less connections, less time spent in eating. One of the early imams, Imam An-Nawawi, rahimahullah, I'm going to give you some examples. They say about him, لَا يَأْكُلُ فِي الْيَوْمِ وَالْلَيْلَةِ إِلَّا أَكْلَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ. Only one time, he never had time to eat more than once. People who have, I'll give you some examples, seriously, I've got some, according to some of the early salaf, you know, the great scholars from the sahaba, from the tabi'un, and the later imams. You know, some amazing, there's one imam called Khalil ibn Ibrahim, I'll give you a few incidents, and you'll be shocked at some of these. Khalil ibn Ibrahim, a great tabi'i, you know what he says? He said, أَثْقَلُ السَّاعَةِ عَلَيَّ سَاعَةٌ أَكُلُ فِيهَا. The most burdensome time on me is the time when I eat food. I'm like saying, when can I get over and done with this eating of food? Because I've got too much important things to do. Write books and read books and do a lot of work. Seriously, even today, people, multitasking, whilst you're eating, you read books. I know so many students. I personally, if I'm not eating with people and talking, I have a habit. If I'm eating, I can't just sit there, just eat and not do anything. It's just impossible. You know, 20 minutes just eating, doing nothing else. Like, you have to do something else with it. To maximize your time. This is what he said. There was one tabi'i, the student of Sahabi, Amir bin Abdul Qais al-Tabi'i. Okay? He was walking and somebody came to him. He was there sitting. He was doing something important. And somebody came to him and said to him, "Oh, Imam," or, you know, he was a tabi'i, "can I just sit, let's chat." You know what he said? He said, "أمسك الشمس حتى أكلمك." Tell the sun to stop so I can talk to you. Tell time to stop, otherwise I don't have time. You can't just have time to chat and chill and relax. I'm not saying you can't talk sometimes, socializing and, you know, being good to one another and giving good nasiha, advice, and helping someone. That's an act of ibadah. But vain kind of conversation. There are many other examples. There was one great imam, Imam Abu Yusuf Al-Qadi, who was a great judge, a great imam from Iraq in the second century. Regarding him, one of his students said, he was on his deathbed. Imagine, I went to visit him, to see him, like, "How are you, is everything okay?" So I asked him, "How are you?" He said, "Yeah, I'm okay. You know, there's an issue, mas'ala of fiqh. Tell me." And he asked him a question. He said, "If people go for hajj, and you know when you hajj time is coming, if you've been hajj, you have to pelt the stones. So when you pelt, is it better? Is it afdal, more rewarding to pelt whilst walking on foot, or mashian, or raqiban?" He's asking him the question. He said, "Raqiban." First, his student said, "Mashian," which is walking. He said, "No, you're wrong." He said, "Okay, then being mounted." He said, "No, that's wrong as well." Then he said, "Oh, Imam, then what?" He said, then told him that if it's this pillar that you're pelting, then it's better mashian. If it's the other one where you're going to make dua, then it's raqiban, etc. But this is on his deathbed. He said, "I spoke to him, and then I went to the door, and when I reached to the door, I heard a sound, and he passed away." There are people who are reading books on their deathbed. They're writing in their, you know, last few days of their life. They are writing books. The great scholars that we find, like, they take 16 years. Ibn Hajar Asqalani wrote a 16-volume commentary on Sahih al-Bukhari. It took him numerous years. But there were not people who would waste their time. If they wasted their time, they could have never done any of the work that we see in front of us. Many of them had a habit of walking and reading, like a lot of people do. You know, they read. Every minute is precious. One imam, he actually passed away because he bumped into a wall because he was reading, and he passed away because of shock on his body, and he was a martyr. There's one imam, he ate too much dates. They say about Imam Muslim that the reason why he was writing so engrossed that he kept eating his body couldn't take it. He didn't even realize how much he ate, and that was one of the reasons why he passed away. Some of them, they did not even realize whether they've eaten or not. As one imam says, for 30 years, his sister used to come and feed him so that he could write hadith. "I don't have time to eat," so he told his elder sister, "Come and feed me so I can carry on writing. I don't have time to eat." There's one sheikh recently, 20, 30 years ago, who I've seen, he's passed away. He passed away sometime in the 80s. His elderly sister used to come and give him food every day, and he wrote a 16-volume commentary in Arabic on a very hadith, important hadith book. And she would come back and the food was there, and she used to see that he never used to eat. So then one day she said, my brother's not eating," so she fed him. Anyway, he completed his writing. After 2-3 hours writing, he called his sister. He said, "Yeah, can you bring the food?" He said, "You already ate, because when? Whilst you were writing, I fed you." Didn't even realize. I'm engrossed. Okay? I mean, there's just amazing, amazing, amazing. Very rarely they used to sleep, some of them. I mean, these are some extreme examples of our early Muslim scholars. Imam Muhammad ibn al-Hasan, it says regarding him, "La yanamu illa qalilan," very small amount of time he used to sleep. He used to keep books. He used to have, like, different types of books. If he gets bored with one type of book, then he would start reading some other books. Have you heard of Imam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah? I mean, this example might not, you know, it might seem ridiculous, but it's not. I mean, if you understand, he used to tell his student that when I go into the toilet, just read in the room loudly so I can hear you whilst I'm in the toilet. So at least I can't take the book in the washroom, in the bathroom, and read. So he used to tell his student that read loudly so whilst I'm 10 minutes in the toilet, I can hear you, so I'm benefiting from the book. Subhanallah, just imagine how particular they were about their time. They don't want to waste even a second whilst they go in the toilet. One of my teachers, he wrote a book over 3 years or few years by making the most out of 2 minutes. He used to have lots of people, he's still alive, lots of people come and see him, and people have, you know, time with him. People arrange time to come and visit him. So there's like, you know, people coming. So half an hour he's given someone time, say 10 a.m. to 10:30, 10:30 to 11. So when the last person leaves a couple of minutes early, like 10:58, and the next person's coming in to see him, was being given the time at 11 a.m. Those 2 minutes, every day he used to pick up, you know, some references, find the dua, it was a book that he wrote, and then, okay, found this for this, and just make a mark. Next day, over 2-3 years, he wrote a book about dua, those two minutes that he collected over 3 years. A book got published. People like us, okay, let's just relax, next person's coming, just relax. Those 2 minutes, and he says that, you know, think beforehand, plan, arrange. When I go home, it'll be 5 minutes before I eat, plan beforehand. What am I going to do in those 5 minutes? When I drive a car, it's a 2-hour drive, right, without breaking the law, what am I going to do? Am I going to listen to a CD of a very beneficial, important lecture? Listen to some Quran, which is also rewarded. It's ibadah, rewarded. Or maybe nasheed, if you want to, but, you know, don't spend too much time nasheed. But it's okay. You can listen to it. If it brings about some spirituality in you, not a problem. But sometimes it becomes more of an entertainment, and I don't like, you know, that entertainment, because we can be deluded that we're thinking that we're increasing in spirituality. But it might really be entertainment, because, okay, listen to the same nasheed, the same words, without any melodious tone. Are you going to listen to it? Right? Think to yourself, are the words impacting me, or the beats and in the nice tone? So it might be entertainment. Listen to Quran, or I need to talk to people, so speak on the phone, but, you know, without breaking the law, as I said. I try to respond to all my calls whilst I'm driving. Sometimes I get about 5-6 calls lined up, because I'm doing a lot of things, I can't respond to them, I'll keep them all. And then when I have to drive, I've got 10-minute, 15-minute driving, one by one I'll respond whilst I'm driving. So at least two things are done in one go. Multitasking, it's part of being a good believer. This is how you really, you know, you value your time. Spend every minute by valuing it, really thinking about it, whether it's beneficial or not. Like one of my students once said, that if time, you know, was something that was bought and sold, I would buy like a minute for a pound. If time was something bought and sold, imagine, you know, if someone says, I'll give you 5 minutes extra, I'd buy it, I'm sure you guys would buy it. Imagine, you know, sometimes I think that I wish we could have got one extra day after every day. So one Monday, then we get another Monday. But then comes Tuesday. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? SubhanAllah, like so many things to do in life, so many things. Time is short, time is limited. You know, when I was studying in Syria, I studied a few places, but one of the places I studied in Syria, I saw once there was this convert or revert Muslim brother who was Chinese, I think. He used to live like in an apartment just above me. So every time I used to see him, he's like rushing with his rucksack. You know, every time he came to study Islam, Islamic studies, Arabic. Every time, I never saw him walking. So one day I stopped him for a bit, and he's still like, he's running. He said, yeah, okay, talk to me, but I'm still running. And I felt that he's being, you know, inconvenienced, you know, that I'm taking. So I made it quick. I said, I just want to ask you, every time I see you running. He said, you know what, I am 23 years old. I became Muslim last year when I was 22. I've spent 22 years of my life in futile, like, activities. I've wasted 22 years of my life, so I'm trying to make the most out of it and use time effectively so that I can make the most, you know, bring those 22 years back into my life. That's why I'm always running, so I do things fast. All the time I just run. If I'm going to get from place A to place B in 10 minutes, if I run, I'll get there in 5 minutes. Alhamdulillah, I've saved in 5 minutes. He says, you won't realize, but the amount of time sometimes at the end of the day when I think I've really like used up, I've benefited 3 extra hours because I run. That's why they say a successful student, you'll always see him in a rush. He's always walking fast. Scholars who are really successful and who are really busy with their lives, where they are doing really successful, you know, intellectual types of work, they won't have time to relax and chill and chat with people. You'll see them in the masjid, out the masjid. They don't have time because they've got hundreds of books to read and write and study and research. And even the worldly, you know, worldly professions. Those people who are really successful in life, whatever it may be. Politics, well, I don't know if you can call politics success these days, but anyway, politics or medicine, the field of medicine or whatever. Those who are successful, they've always been very particular about their time. Extremely particular. They don't have time to watch TV, X Factor. They don't have time to waste their time on watching Celebrity Get Me Out of Here. I mean, I don't know how someone can watch that. Seriously. You must have to be really low in your life where you just have no time. You're just useless, basically sitting there and watching someone snoring. Oh, in bed all night, yeah. She's talking to him and he's talking to her. That's just ridiculous. Wasting time. X Factor and this, Britain's Got Talent. I don't know if Britain has got talent, but if he has, you know. And all this kind of, I mean, just wasting of time, seriously. Excessively engrossed in even sports, watching sports. What benefit is there? Come on. Watching especially cricket, which is a boring game as it is. Football, okay, you know, it's not that boring. But cricket especially. 4 days, you just watch people, you know, you're boring. Golf, you know, play golf. Play cricket. You know, what are you doing spending 4 days, you know, watching them? Just wasting of time. And people get engrossed. Their whole life revolves around these sports activities and these kind of activities where we just waste our precious time. Seriously, it's just a wastage of time. There's so much more we can do with our lives if we do not waste our time in that way. Right? So, therefore, finally on this point, and then I'll mention another point and we'll end, inshallah. Time is very short. I want to say some really other important things, but I will touch upon those, but briefly. Finally, in terms of time, be principled, be organized, make a timetable in your life. This is the way to go about things. Be arranged, like you say, in my life, 6, 7, or 8, whatever hours, this is the time I'm going to sleep. Sleeping time, this much. Eating time, this much. This is the time I do this, this is the time I do that. Make a timetable, arrange your time. Wake up early. Sleep early and really organize your time. And then after that, try your utmost best. Whether the world turns upside down, you stick to your routine. You stick to your routine. Yes, there might be some cases where you have excuses, where, you know, it's just beyond, you know, like we say, you know, it's due to unforeseen circumstances. Not a problem. But generally, you try your best to stick with that routine. Be serious in your studying. Be serious. And I'm sure, I mean, your parents have sent you here for a reason. You've come here for a reason. You know you're spending time. You're spending money. Why waste it in futile activities? And it doesn't have to just, you know, your studies. But then along with that, spend it in learning some beneficial Islamic knowledge. Which is also an obligation on every Muslim. Another challenge, and I'm going to mention these another one or two points on the end. Another very important challenge in this university life is the challenge that we all face, going back to the verses, because that's those verses of Surah Al-Mu'minun. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ What did we say after that? وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ Then what does Allah say? وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ Those people who engage in, you know, لِلزَّكَاةِ Zakat really means purifying themselves, purification. Who are engaged in purifying themselves. This zakati fa'ilun. Right? So you purify yourself. And وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ Those successful believers are the ones who, again Allah mentioned فُرُوجِهِمْ first. Not يَحْفَظُونَ فُرُوجَهُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ When it comes to their private parts, فُرُوج is a plural of فَرْج. فَرْج means your genital area. You know, Allah is so explicit here. It's a genital area. لِفُرُوجِهِمْ They preserve, they guard their private parts. This is in the ayah. These are the signs of a successful believer. This challenge is great in the university, especially. And especially in London. Yeah? Especially in London. This challenge. Remember, these are temptations that shaitan brings about into ourselves. The weakest instinct of the human being is the sexual instinct. It's very easy to slip. Even the practicing people, even the bearded people and the hijabi people. You know, it's very easy to slip, very easy, and shaitan knows. I mean, those things which are absolutely haram, like clubbing and drugging, I don't know if that's a word, they're, you know. I mean, I don't have to really be here and start telling you that, you know, you can't club and you can't drink alcohol. I mean, these things you realize yourself, you haven't realized now, seriously, it's going to hit you hard later on in your life. You realize yourself in your life that you've really wasted your day and night and your life. Okay? There are so many people. Recently I was reading a report from some sister who embraced Islam in France, I think. She was a very popular celebrity. I don't know what she was.
Rapper,
that's right, yes. What was her name? Yes, I just read. And the things she said, you know, she was a druggie and all sorts. And the peace, when she read the Quran, she saw her Muslim friend and she read the Quran and the peace. I've gone past that life, she says. And it's just an amazing peace that I get in my life. And seriously, ask the people who worship Allah, who have their lives on deen, and they avoid those other activities, haram. They give you temporary enjoyment. But then after that, you get such a low in your life that it's just not worth the hassle. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Indeed, by the dhikr of Allah, do hearts, you know, find the peace and tranquility. So those things are like out of the question. We don't have time. And not just time, it's just absolutely like out of the question doing those kind of sins of, you know, clubbing and drinking alcohol. A believer doesn't do that. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَزْنِي الزَّانِي حِينَ يَزْنِي وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنِ لَا يَسْرِقْ السَّارِقْ حِينَ يَسْرِقْ وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنِ. When you commit zina, fornication, at that time you don't even remain a believer. So Allah says in this verse, لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. They preserve their modesty. Avoid at all costs all types of fahsha. Allah says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا. وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا. Don't even get close to zina. Forget zina altogether, fornication. Don't even approach it. Don't even get close to it. Don't even think about it. If zina is there, be here, like really away. Which means anything that can lead to zina. Which means, you know, just flirtatious conversation with the member of the opposite gender. Avoid. Especially don't think, I'm doing it all in Islam, in the name of Islam. You know how much fitnas take place in the name of Islam? In your ISOC? Yeah, I know, seriously. Shaitan is very clever. You know this shaitan, this geezer, shaitan. Yeah? Seriously. There's a book, Imam Ibn al-Jawzi wrote a book called Talbisu Iblis, The Tricks of Shaitan. Explain to us, I don't know if it's translated into English, the ways and the methods shaitan employs to trick us. In order to save ourselves, we need to know the tricks. He's very sharp. He attacks the people who are so-called religious in a religious sense. Yeah, this sister, you know, be good to her. She needs some help and assistance, you know. She's a sister. Ukht fil Islam, ukhti. She's a, first will be ukhti, yeah, I'm here anytime you want me, you know. I'm here, inshallah, at your service, sister, no problem. And one thing leads to another, you know. Like they say, one thing leads to another, and then eventually haram activities without a doubt will take place. And likewise, sisters, you know, oh, this brother has got a beard and you know, he leads the, you know, salah sometimes. He seems a very good. And she says, yeah, brother, you know, I need some help. You know, can I come and read? And they say, yes, this is my brother, my akhi fil Islam, alhamdulillah. You know? And then, you know, what happens? Shaitan is very sharp, brothers and sisters, really. So be very, very careful. Don't even get close to fahsha. Allah says, wala taqrabu zina. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَ. Don't even get close to it, because it's you know, fahisha, it's obscene, it's, you know, you have to. وَسَاءَ سَبِيلَ. And it's an evil. وَسَاءَ سَبِيلَ. So in this verse Allah said, لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ إِلَّا عَلَى أَزْوَاجِهِمْ. Unless if you're married, okay, then not a problem. أَوْ مَا مَلَكَ تَيْمَانُهُمْ. Which means that, the female slaves that they had, I don't have time to go into explain that, the concept behind it. فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ. And then Allah says, فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ. Anyone seeks to fulfill their lustful sexual desires in a way beyond that, other than that, which is marriage, besides marriage, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ. These people are transgressors. Don't even get close to it. Nikah is a halal way. And if you can't resist yourself, brother, the temptation, sister, just get married. End of story. It doesn't matter if you're 18. Just get married. Okay, but then parents, that's another problem, some other time. Don't even get close to zina. Flirtatious conversation. Preserve your eyesight. Gaze. Looking at the member of the opposite gender in a lustful way is absolutely haram. قُلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ قُلِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ. Traveling on the London Underground tube network, it's a summer's day, people barely dressed, yeah, tight clothing. You know, start, yeah, looking at, checking out all the figures, right? I'm not talking about money figures here. Don't start checking out people. Look down. Walk, look down, so that you become so accustomed to looking down that you know like every single crack that's on the pavement. Keep your gazes low. A believer keeps the gaze low. This is what the Quran tells us. I'm not saying you can't talk to a sister or a sister can't talk to a brother. It's permissible. But with adab, with etiquette, the manner has to be right. The content has to be right. You can't flirt. Flirtatious conversation is out of the question. It's haram, sinful. End of story, full stop. The manner has to be something which is important. You can't talk about something which is not required. It has to be something of importance. You can talk about something genuinely you need to talk about. Not just have a chat, relaxing session. How's the weather and what's happening and how's life? And that's not allowed. Something important. And then the manner as well. Don't be extra nice. So just don't put an extra accent or an extra, because it's a sister. You know, some you pick up the phone if it's a brother, sister. Yeah, assalamu alaikum. Yeah. Don't try to act like that. Even sisters. Don't try to soften your voice extra for the brothers. The Quran tells the female companions, wives of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah said to them, فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ. Don't be soft in your speech when you speak to men. فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٍ. Because the guy who's got disease in his heart will be inclined. When this verse was revealed, some of the female companions, they would intentionally, deliberately roughen their voices when they would talk to men. Yeah, how's it going? Okay, not in a rude way. Look, we can't be rude. We need to be nice, but the balance, getting the balance right. Okay, so really preserve, because remember, the sight is the door. The sight is the door to the sin of zina. It starts from there. Like they say, the sight, and then a smile, and then one thing leads to another. And then it's the bedroom before you know it. Okay? So really, seriously, no flirtatious conversation. And as I said, if you can't resist it, get married. End of story. And if you want to get and you know, if you want to get married and you can't find someone, or it's very difficult, come to me, or we'll try to help you, inshallah. You know, find you someone. Find you a good wife or a good husband. But get married. You know, I'll speak to your father if you want, or your parents. Like, you know, this son of yours has got a lot of heat in his body. You know, he needs to get married. Okay? So therefore, never be in seclusion with a member of the opposite gender, like khalwa, which is totally haram. So these things are very important. Preserve your sight. And finally, because time's up, you have to also... So that was the third point. I said niyyah. Number two was the precious, valuable asset of time. Number three was لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. Preserve your modesty and guard your modesty. And then the fourth point, which is very brief, be always turn to Allah, rujoo ila Allah, which is turning to Allah in all your affairs, especially in your studies. Turn to Allah when the test comes, when examinations come, when things are difficult. Constantly, constantly turning to Allah, regularly making dua, offering your prayers. I mean, there's this brother once, he said to me, I can't pray. You know, he asked a question over the phone. He said, I can't pray because it's exams. How are you going to get any benefit in your exams? I mean, how are you going to get the help of Allah if you can't offer your 5-10 prayers? One sister once said, is there anything to read, like some wadifa or something, some dua I can make so I can pass my test? I said, before I tell you, I've got some very important something to tell you, some really special dua, like you just go to sleep, you wake up and you pass. I just made that up anyway. But can I ask you a question? Do you offer your 5-10 prayers? Yeah, I do some. I said, you know what? No dua on planet Earth is going to help you. The best dua is the dua after prayers. You have to offer your 5-time prayers. I don't know what kind of world people live in. They think, oh, you know, you read this dua or something, just miraculously will happen. You can't pray 5-time prayers. How, if you do not observe the 5-time salat, for any dua, miracle to happen, Allah will not help you. So whatever you do, if you want success, base foundation is turning to Allah. Building a spirituality in your life. Constantly turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Praying salah on time, Salatul Hajj, which is a sunnah, prayer of need. There's a full hadith in Sunan Tirmidhi. I don't have time to go into it. But the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained when test comes, when examinations come. I did a whole lecture once on that. So on YouTube, if you want details, just type in Salat al Hajj, H-A-J-A-H. The whole salat, how it's supposed to be read. There's a special dua as well. La ilaha illallah al-halim al-kareem. Subhanallah rabbil arshil azim. Nas'aluka mujibati rahmatik. It's quite long, but you can watch it there if you want. Especially for tests and trials and examinations. Turning to Allah. Allah will help you, inshallah. And finally, last point is that it goes without saying. We need to have good adab and etiquette with all the people around us. Students, teachers, whoever that they may be. Muslims, non-Muslims, that's what Islam teaches. Islam doesn't say you need to be aggressive against non-Muslims. You know, we're not in a warfare here. We're not in Afghanistan, okay? We're in London Imperial College. That's not Tora Bora there, okay, or something. You know, the mountains in Afghanistan. So, with even non-Muslims, we need to be hospitable. We need to have good etiquettes. Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. A complete believer is that person from whose verbal statements and his actions, no believer is harmed. So believers as well as then non-believers as well. Be ambassadors of Islam and give a good image to the people around. We don't even have to do da'wah verbally if we do da'wah physically with our actions. Be good, righteous Muslims, and inshallah you'll see that people will, you know, see the good side of Islam. There's a lot of challenges, you know, those kind of anti-Islam challenges. We all, you know, start shouting when the videos are made and all of that. We don't have to do none of that. If we act as good Muslims, 2 million videos can be uploaded on YouTube. It's not going to make a difference to people. Because they've seen the Muslims. But the problem is because they haven't seen us practicing Islam, so they will get affected by these videos. So the best way of really, really countering these kind of anti-Islam messages is to be positive in your Islam. Live Islam, inshallah. Sorry for going time. I'm going to end with this. May Allah grant us tawfiq. قولي هذا واستغفر الله وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه.